I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons report.
Stock! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons report on Dukes and Bell.
How you doing? It is Dukes and Bell, and Randy Mack is working today. And for Carl, Carl's got some family time down in Texas. And we got plenty to dive into this hour, man. Arch caught up with Julio Jones. You'll hear that. Some cuts from that. About 520 or so is part of the big story. The Bravos trying to bounce back. Can they get some clutch? Can they be cool? Chill them out. Be cool. Because that's a big part of it, Randy, keeping your head right.
Oh, yeah. And it looks like the Astros hit another home run. So the Astros just hit another home run.
Yeah,
so
man.
They're cooking right now.
Home runs, it's what the game has become. Nobody manufactures runs anymore, man. It's just a long ball. But the Astros are up on the Tribe. They knock Kluber out of the box 5-2. And I said, Archer, he's talked to, he got some cuts from the CW. You'll hear some of that. But Dave Archer is going to join us. The man, the Idaho rail splitter, coming up at 5:20 as part of the big story as the Falcons. Well, look, you could argue that if the Braves are 0-2 in the minds of a lot of Braves, even the most hardcore Braves fans,
that's,
yeah, too tough to come back from. So it's a must-win for the Falcons. It's a must-win for the Braves. If the Atlanta United wants to hold on to the supporter shield, Atlanta United, that's a must-win, and they've got to win out. You got to get your business and do it right because you can't count on Red Bulls losing the way those guys are playing.
They're playing well, and they have a tactical attack that most teams can't deal with defensively and offensively. And Atlanta has not found a way to attack that, so hopefully they can get a hold of that. And tonight, I mean, I didn't realize the start was so late. I thought it was another 8:30, but 9:30 start. So maybe do you think that might have something too? The lateness of the game maybe have an effect on these guys? I don't know.
I mean, they're out in LA time. They're kicking it around. It's they do try to do things sometimes to appease the West Coast. So a 6:30 first pitch for everybody's going to be stuck on the 101 trying to get to Dodger Stadium. Hey, man, you know what we forgot to say? It's 5 o'clock. We'd like to start the 5 o'clock hour by everybody join in by saying,
hey, man.
Look at this, a chorus of hey, man. And by the way, 600 cases of this goodness flowing from a Coney Brewing Company right now. The video is up, and it's glorious. You see the beer getting filled, cans get... And then they're out to the trucks. It's a dream come true.
Right.
So, Randy's
still ain't getting no money out there, though.
What's that now?
Still ain't getting no loot off.
Again, it's Randy. I'm just trying to share the goodness with the listeners. And Carl and I making a small profit that's neither here nor there. All right, let's get to the Falcon report. A couple of things from Dan Quinn, starting with the Steelers. He's got a 4-point plan for greatness on defense. Would you like to hear it?
Let me hear it.
I kind of broke down four things I thought would really show marked improvement defensively. And the first part's going to start with communication. And then it goes right into our tackling and making sure from a fundamental standpoint we're rock solid in that way. Third piece of that is continued emphasis on our pass rush. We thought we made strides and improvement in that spot. And then lastly is our ability to go ball hawk.
Were you buying that?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at their problems, I think the biggest thing you saw was the communication. When you have wide receivers running wide open, and you're thinking these guys, he's going to carry the receiver down the seam a little bit longer, but he thinks that you're over the top already. And I heard that they were talking about what Dan told him to turn down the music at practice so they can communicate more. I mean, you got to get that gun because right now, to me, it seems like he wants to play his best five guys back there in the back end. And that's Poole, that's Oliver, Trufant, right. Alford, and, of course, KZ. Well, those guys have not played a lot together without the other two guys. So they got to find a way to get all that in sync right now.
Brian Jordan talked about it. We talked a little bit of Falcons on the back end of our conversation about the Braves. You'll hear that guys coming up in about 6:20 right here on Dukes and Bell. But that's the thing. They got Richards, the kid from the Patriots. They don't really have confidence in Jordan Richards.
Did you see him play the first two games? I wouldn't have confidence in him either.
Not very good.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
But what about Poole? And I mean, is he the man for safety? I love the way he hits, but does he make good judgment?
You love the way he hits. He doesn't make good judgment hitting.
Right.
If you watch him and KZ play, and I love both of their intensity, I love how they bring it. They lead with their head too much. They both of them do, and they do it a lot. And that's going to cost this Falcons defense. I love their aggressiveness, but you've got to find a way to take that out of your game, not because of me, because it don't bother me. I'm talking about because of the guys that you say bellyache about every week, right. Those guys. And, you know, you just saw that last play, you know, the communication wasn't there. A lot of it had to do with the youthfulness of an Oliver. I know it's cover two, and you were doing exactly what you're supposed to do in cover two, but you got to know where you're at on the field, who's on your side of the ball, right. And you got to be able to sink under that.
Now, we talked a little bit about this at Falcons on Wednesday, but let me just get this from you because you played in the NFL. Randy Mack, I always assume everybody knows who you are because, well, we all know who you are. But if you're new to the station, Randy, a Georgia Bulldog, played in the NFL for a decade, and he's one of the best blocking tight ends you'll ever see. As far as the way Oliver was out there doing his thing, why don't Quinn and Marquand Manuel, and I've asked this a couple of years back when we played the Giants, why don't you put your best? I guess right now our best is Rocky Alford. Why don't you put Robert Alford on A.J. Green? I know they don't match up versus specific sides. They lock guys in. They don't match up specific talent. Why don't they try that?
Well, they did. They were doing it, Mike, most of the game. But then, you know.
But you had Trufant in the slot against Boyd, and that was a hot mess.
It was man-to-man. So that's right. He had Boyd. And then Rocky, he had AJ. So wherever they went, they had him. And so you saw a couple times and got a chance to talk to Arch about it. You saw the plays where he had AJ twice on a back shoulder fade. If he throws it, that's a touchdown. But he threw it out in front, and then Rocky was able to get his hand around and bat it. That's all that was. And a lot of times teams go to zone in that particular time because you have more advantages to your, you know, as a defense. You have the sideline. You have the back line also as an extra defender. And you know that you park on the goal line. They have no timeouts. You make them check the ball down. You rally to get them. Game's over.
So it comes down to things that people don't want to hear about, but the young guys plugged in, not having the vibe or the communication and knowing where they got
to
be.
And the thing what you hate about Oliver is you hate that for him to have to learn that experience at that moment. Because a veteran corner would have known, I'm going to sink back up under this corner route because it's AJ. I'm going to sink right up under here because I know that I got help over top right there with Poole. I'm going to sink. And then once they check this ball down, we're going to rally and we're going to get him down. Game's over.
And we talked to Isaiah Oliver. It's a quickie, but it's online at 929thegame.com. But he was, you know, he's a smart kid, so he is going to learn from it. He's going to pick up on it. And the guy's got the wingspan, all the measurables. Think about how, I mean, I know he's persona non grata, but remember Jalen Collins was a hot mess. We didn't think when he was going to develop, and then he's starting in the Super Bowl. Now, granted, it didn't work out that well, but certainly he was able to step up when Trufant went out.
Right.
So these guys will get better. Here's the question, Randy. By the time they get it better, will the season be over?
That's the thing right there. Because we saw during their Super Bowl year, you know, Deion and Devondre and these guys, they were learning on the job. You had Vic Beasley with 15 and a half sacks. So, I mean, they had the pressure. And these guys were learning. But even though these guys are learning, just like Deion and them were, see, they had Ricardo Allen in the back end, Mike. They had a guy back there that could help all them get lined up. They don't have that now. You have a guy in Devondre who is not used to having the communication help, the green dot, which is, you know, the plays that get called to him. He gives the play to the defense. You know what I'm saying? He's not used to it. He's just getting the play. I'm going to react. I'm going to ball. Now he has to sit back. And I got to get this guy lined up. I got to make sure the check is right. If they go in motion, I got to reset all this stuff. That's new to him. That's what we talk about, all the communication.
It is the Falcon Report, guys, brought to you by Domino's, largest free-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only, but it's good every night of the week. So whether you're watching baseball, football, whatever your weekend plans are, make it a Domino's night, guys. Can't beat the deal. Go to Domino's.com for more details. All right, first with the Falcons. By now, you know Grady Jarrett done with the ankle sprain this week. Justin Bethel, who we brought in for special teams another week, he's out with a knee injury. And we thought Derek Shelby was going to go, but he's got a groin, as you guys say, and he's declared out as well. Now, on the Steelers side, they've had some issues in the secondary. Morgan Burnett, the former Yellow Jacket, he is listed as doubtful, also with a groin. The Pittsburgh blog doesn't sound – they don't think Morgan Burnett's going to play necessarily.
Right.
Darius Heyward-Bey, not really think of him as one of the weapons. It's Juju Smith-Schuster, obviously. And they actually got using Vance McDonald a lot more.
He's been a great addition to that team. He's a big physical guy. They like to use him down the field. And he is a nightmare matchup for smaller safeties that are going to – and the Falcons are going to put smaller guys on him. So that's going to be a matchup that they're going to try to exploit.
And Vince Williams with a hamstring is doubtful at linebacker for the Steelers as well. Now, as I mentioned, I was reading the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. So basically you read like their D-led and see what they're saying about their team. It's funny because the analysis is if you double Julio, well, then Calvin Ridley or Sanu is going to burn us.
Right.
So is that what's going to happen?
That's what everybody's been doing.
And their defense is about as bad as ours.
Outside of that Philly game where I was surprised that Philly played as much man-to-man on Julio with just single coverage.
Right.
The rest of this time, no, he's been doubled, and they found the matchup that they tried to exploit. And you're looking down at the depth chart for Pittsburgh. Are you scared of Cameron Sutton? Are you scared of Mike Hilton? I mean, these guys, Cody Sensabaugh. I mean, they had to put Cody Sensabaugh in because Artie Burns was getting burned.
Right.
So I mean, these are guys that you can get after right now. Now is Philly going to double? I mean, is Pittsburgh going to double Julio? Yeah, probably. So the other guys got to eat. What is Atlanta? How is Atlanta going to guard Antonio Brown? Are they going to double him? Are they going to put Robert Alford on him man to man? I wouldn't suggest that, but I mean, they did it last week with AJ. So right. Let's see.
And Antonio Brown, if you haven't been following, there was a bit of a disconnect with him and Ben Roethlisberger. Mike Tomlin said that they would figure it out. They'd kiss and make up, but they weren't talking on the sidelines. Antonio Brown, I've always said, look, he scores more touchdowns than Julio. He's like a five-year-old mentally. He really is a child.
I knew AB, you know, growing up in Miami, got to know him when he was youngin', and guy who has made himself into a great receiver. I mean, this guy works hard every day. He takes care of his body. He's all about ball. But he's all about himself, too. And he's gotten to that point, and he's about self, and he wants his numbers. And I don't want to put it on him like he's the type of receiver though, where if they lose but he gets 150, he's happy.
Right.
But he's been lately, it's been coming off that way. And, you know, and Juju's getting that single coverage, and he is taking advantage of it.
Right. So as the old white man can't jump line, don't want to look bad and win.
I mean, exactly. But I'm just saying, you know.
Well, you heard from Free, by the way, when we asked him on Wednesday, how's he doing? He didn't care how many touches he gets. He just wants to see the Falcons win. Curious to see how he's used. You know, I thought there were some times in short yardage that maybe he'd be the right tool for the job. But certainly a guy that pass protection was an issue. First thing he brought up when we asked him, what were you doing like the last 3 weeks? He said, I'm watching the offensive line. I'm watching how the pass protections work. I mean, that's something we've brought up time and time again with Free.
Their backs are having issues in pass pro. I mean, you saw a couple of times last week where, you know, guys were coming free, and you're like, and you see, and that's the crazy thing. You know when a back misses, because the first thing they do when they step up, they start looking back because their guy's coming. And luckily, Matt had got the ball off a couple times in that situation. But, yeah, everybody in that running back room need to be watching a little more tape.
So the Falcons take on the Steelers. We're expecting a lot of points. What about James Conner? You think they can run the ball on us with all the guys all banged up at D-line?
You remember they thought it was all world. His first thing, we don't need no Le'Veon. Did you see what he did against Cleveland? He's had 97 yards the last three games. You know, I mean,
so we're basically very similar or mirror images because we're running the ball just enough. We ran it well against Carolina, but as we pointed out earlier, haven't really done much since then.
No,
just the bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean, it's not his fault. He's just not Le'Veon Bell. Right. And you can say what you want about it. Le'Veon Bell is the most important player to that offense because he dictates everything. Like, he dictates coverage. He dictates how you're going to shift. I mean, he does so much for that offense, and you just miss that element. And when you take a piece like that away, it affects everybody. He's a big reason why AB's not getting his numbers now because guys can focus solely on stopping that one guy.
All right, 58-point over-under, that's like a 31-28 would take you over. That makes sense to you?
Yep.
All right, well then – boy, that sounds eerily similar to the Saints and the
Bengals.
But
this thing about it, I trust the Falcons quarterback more than I do Pittsburgh. And I damn sure trust the Falcons kicker more than I trust the Pittsburgh Steelers kicker.
Got that right.
So,
yeah, it's
and
funny.
I'm going 31. I've been saying 31-28 the past 2 weeks on a Matt Bryant field goal. I'm thinking I'm going to have to ride with it again.
All right, man. Because I'm with you on that one. And you've also got a guy, Jack McKinley, who said it was kind of funny in the locker room on Wednesday. Look, man, Ben Roethlisberger's money's the best. He ain't never seen Dak McKinley.
Really?
Well, because he's excited. At least one guy's got some swagger on this team. Let's have some fun.
Let's go in there like a pack of rabid dogs and
be loose.
I love his energy. I love what he brings to the table. But he ain't never seen nobody like that big dude. He going to get on the ground. All right, because you can hang all over his back in Big Ben and walk with you 2 yards and still get the ball off.
Right.
So he's a different cat.
Hey, man, the Pittsburgh Steelers are worried about us. They're worried about the offense. Here's Sark talking about all the offensive weapons we have and some of those matchup issues they present.
We all know there's so much attention that goes to Julio. And then you get into some of the third down and red zone, there's a lot of attention for Mo. And now all of a sudden you add a third element along with Hoop coming along, not to mention the runners out of the backfield. So, you know, it's the more weapons you have and the more guys contributing, the tougher it is on the defense. And then, you know, makes my life a little bit easier as well calling the plays.
Yeah, he's right. I think we were on the Wade Ford tailgate show with me and Andy. He was talking about, you know what? The offense seems to be better with just one of these guys because you just focus on getting one guy to football. Now you bring this weapon and Freeman back in, and you got to find a way to get him involved in this offense, and it's only going to make you better. But guys have been stepping up, and that's the advantage of drafting a guy like Ridley. I don't, because I think a lot of people didn't really think that they were going to draft a receiver in the first round. That's the advantages of it, because you have a guy, Mike, that can win on the outside consistently. They didn't have that. When you put Taylor Gabriel out there, he's a gimmick guy. But you get a guy who's a pure wide receiver, that had worked out.
They finally got Gabriel in the action for the Bears last week. See if they can continue that.
Nice.
Meanwhile, DJ Moore, who was drafted ahead of Calvin Ridley, has one touchdown but hasn't been a factor the last 2 weeks for Carolina. And as we said, yeah, you guys know that Ridley's leading the entire NFL with six TDs, partly because Julio is drawing all the coverage. Julio caught up with Dave Archer. It's an interview on CW69. Here's Julio Jones talking about the coverages and how they play him.
When I go into a game, I'm usually two-man and, you know, and double and things like that. But I've been playing with it for so long in my career, it's like I see one guy now, you know, and when the ball is in there, it's mine. I just try to, you know, make the best judgment. That's why I'm out there. I've seen it so many times. It's like it's routine for me. When they put two guys on me, I don't freak out. I don't do anything. I know what I need to do.
He stays cool.
He does. I mean, because he's used to it. It's something that he's been accustomed to for years now.
Right.
And I mean, that last play of the game against Cincinnati, when he went and got the ball, I was like, damn.
Yeah, he's bracketed. He's fighting through those double teams.
He's doing everything he has to do. And that's all Matt can do right there is just give him an opportunity.
Hey, here's one more from Julio. Again, the big factor, does it matter if the offense is scoring all these points? Who gets the touchdowns? Julio don't care.
People can't tell me what I need to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm a professional at what I do. I've been doing this for so long. I don't go to nobody's job and tell them what they need to do at work and things like that. And you have expectations. Oh, you should have this, you should have that. Like, this is a team sport. This is a team game. You know, and for me, like, I feel just as good if I score, if somebody else scores. If Calvin scoring, if Logan scoring, if Hoop scoring, Matt Ryan scoring, it doesn't matter. Like, I feel like I score because we together. You know, we went out there and practiced and put that work in to be successful in the red zone. As long as we scoring touchdowns, it doesn't matter who gets them.
Damn, fantasy football's ruined it. That's all that is these damn fantasy owners. That's all this is.
Well, if you're losing loot on fantasy,
yeah,
let's
that's all it is.
Give you some money.
Damn fantasy people.
With the sound.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
joy. You're a joy to work with today, Randy.
Thanks, Mike.
Joy, 72881. That's joy. It gets texted to 72881 for your shot at $1,000. We give it every hour from the mornings, weekdays with frickin' you, all the way through us to 7 o'clock, man. Joy is the word right now. Text J-O-Y to 72881 and answer the phone if somebody calls. Could be our guys with $1,000 for you.
Answer it.
I mean, I'd like to see the man get some touchdowns. You're going to be the best receiver in the league.
No, you're still putting up 38 points, Mike.
I'd hate to be his agent in that contract.
Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
Obviously, big story. It's kind of like 1 and 1A. We're going to talk about the Falcons with Dave Archer. We'll get plenty into the Braves guys next segment. As the Braves looking to bounce back, some guys thought maybe Snicker was overthinking some of the things in the lineup. We saw one of those lineups a few times this last season. But the moment was big, Randall. Can they get untight? Can they get loosey-goosey? Can they, you know, do what we thought they were going to do, play with house money tonight in L.A.?
They better. They better come out loose, man, Mike. Or, you know, I would love to see my man Brian Jordan. I would love to see him work on Monday. But, you know,
right?
If they – because it's not even if they win or lose, Mike. They have a good showing, like – you know what? We're here, and the Dodgers just do something a little bit better, then you have more confidence. But if it's a lot like it was last night,
Well, we're going to find out if Anibal can do the job. Brian Jordan, by the way, an hour from now from Fox Sports, get his take on what the Bravos are going to have to do. It's another must-win game as Dave Archer joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Talk about what's going to happen in Pittsburgh. What's up, Arch?
Good afternoon, fellas.
All right, big guy. We heard the conversation with you with Julio, man. He was just really cool and laid back. I mean, we're going to see more of the same. We were just talking about it earlier, just more double teams, meaning Calvin Ridley and Sanu are going to get the benefits.
Well, I mean, potentially, Mike. I mean, obviously, they're going to try to take away your best option. And when you've got a guy as hot as Ridley is, being rookie of the month and leading the league in touchdowns, I would imagine he's going to draw some attention. This is a team that wants to play a too-high safety look, which means it lends itself to being able to run the football against them. So will you be able to run them out of the too high, meaning they're going to have to get a safety down in the box to help stop the run? If they do, then that means you're going to get singled on the outside. As long as they can keep two safeties in the middle of the field, that means they're going to be able to double those two outside guys if they choose to do that. That also makes them vulnerable down the middle, which means Sanu and Hooper and people like that that are going to play in the middle, go run down through the middle, could make some plays.
Hey, Arch, we know that Devontae, he is coming back this game. What kind of play calling, or how much time do you think he's going to get, you know, considering he's missed the last couple of weeks?
Well, I don't anticipate anything different than when he's healthy. So okay. I would imagine it's going to be a pretty steady rotation of he and Tevin. And then obviously Ito's going to get his opportunities because they like some of the things he brings to the table. I think the toughest part about it is how do you balance it?
Right.
And how do you get one guy in rhythm? I think one of the reasons, and I know you guys have documented the fact that when they're both healthy, meaning Tevin and Devontae, it doesn't seem like we get either one of them necessarily in a rhythm, and that's going to be the problem for Sark. It's a good problem to have from a skill position standpoint. You got a lot of guys, but can you get a guy enough taste for the football that he can get some kind of rhythm running the ball? So that'll be the challenge. I think it's a good challenge to have because you got guys that can play. It also creates problems for the defense to prepare. They're much more willing to play Devontae and Tevin in the backfield at the same time as opposed to Ito and Tevin in the backfield at the same time. So you do have that animal that potentially Pittsburgh might see in the game.
It's Dave Archer with us, guys. He's got an easy double dip this week. Pittsburgh taking on Syracuse, and he gets to hang around and, maybe drink a beer or two, and then go watch the Steelers take on the Falcons. That's an easy one. No many connections with your planes this time.
Yeah, no Heyman up here, so I'll do a little Iron City beer up here, Mike.
Right on.
they're still waiting for the Heyman to start making it to the other cities. I know you're having a tough time just getting it distributed in Atlanta, let alone get it in another city.
Right. And the Oompa Loompas are cranking them out right now as we speak. Arch, the thing is, it's a 3-4 defense. We know about everyone knows some of the names on that, but it's like the front is great, the back end is just really poor for Pittsburgh. So you think we can run the ball on those guys?
Well, I mean, it depends on – you can dictate what personnel is on the field. I mean, 3-4 is their base. If you go, one tight end, two backs in the game, they'll be in a 3-4. But Atlanta plays a lot of three receiver sets, which means Pittsburgh's going to counter with a sub package. I mean, they're going to bring an extra defensive back in the game, and they're not going to stay 3-4 in that set. They'll go to a four-man line. It'll be their nickel set in the game. So – That'll put T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree as your edge rushers and or edge defenders against the run. And neither one of them are overly good against the run. Dupree's a little bit light in the rear – or I'm sorry, Watt's a little light in the rear end to play a defensive end position at 250. So you might be able to get after them running the ball out of your sub package to create some problems with them trying to hold up on the edge. But, they're decent in the back end. I mean, Joe Hayden's a good player. Artie Burns, a guy they burned a number one draft pick on. They're a little bit banged up at safety. Their number one pick a year ago this year was Terrell Edmonds, the kid out of Virginia Tech. He has not played. He's been banged up as well. So it's a group that's a little bit nondescript right now. They've only taken the ball away 7 times on a year. They are a team that can get after your passer, but 7 of their 13 sacks came in the first game of the year. So the numbers sack-wise are a little skewed when you think, wow, 13 sacks in their first 4 games. Yeah, but 7 came against Cleveland in the first game of the season. So that number is even kind of disguising a little bit. So I think they're a defense that's a little bit of an enigma. It's a team that's struggling defensively just like we are.
I agree with you so much. But when you look at their back end with Artie Burns, he hasn't played up to the first round, and they replaced him with Cody Sensabaugh. I mean, would you think the Falcons might want to be in more 11 personnel to exploit those matchups?
Well, I think that, Randy, there's no question that that they love to be in 11, meaning they've got 3 receivers on the field, 1 back, 1 tight end. So they can find a way to dictate what they want to do. And that allows them, Randy, to go to their up-tempo package.
Right.
And we've seen Atlanta use some up-tempo in the game in the middle of the series. And you're a little bit more reluctant to go, when you've got 12 personnel in the game to go up-tempo. You just don't have the personnel to do what you want to do. I think there's a lot more versatility from 11, like you're talking about. That's 1 back, 1 tight end, 3 receivers. And I think that you'll see them in that set more, and I think they can dictate what personnel's on the field, and then they can also dictate what kind of play calling's coming at them.
Arch, we were talking earlier about communication. Randy was explaining how, you know, again, Poole, he's playing safety, and obviously a guy like Isaiah Oliver is learning on the job. We spoke to him in the locker room, and he's going to, you know, take and learn from the mistakes. But how quickly can these guys get it on track, you know, before, you know, we're hoping to, you know, keep your head above water until Debo gets back. But how quickly is this defense going to be able to do the things that Quinn and Marquand Manuel want to do?
Well, look for them to get back to a little bit more conventional personnel groupings, meaning I think you're going to see Poole more at nickel. I don't think you're going to see him as a safety as much. And I think that you're going to, if at all, I think you're going to see Trufant slid inside and played nickel last week. I think he's going to go back outside the corner. I think you're going to get a little bit more of Jordan Richards at safety alongside DeMonte Casey. So I think you're going to be a little bit more conventional, putting guys in positions they're used to playing, and then going and playing. I think that that makes a lot of sense instead of trying to force guys to maybe play, learn on the job, which was going on with Isaiah Oliver, and maybe learn out of position, which was going on with Brian Poole trying to play safety. So look for them to get back to putting guys back in positions they're familiar with.
When with Grady out, I think that the Crawford's going to start in his position. And we were talking about Sinat earlier, and Coach Quinn said that he didn't think he was going to up his usage. But don't you think that he has to now that you're a guy that's you're a guy down in the interior and also a guy in Shelby that can play in there also?
Well, I think that, Randy, you know as well as I do, Crawford's a little light in the ass if he's playing on the inside. You know, and so and so is Shelby. So you're going to look at McLean playing inside. I think that Bennett's going to get a chance to play as well, the new kid they signed. So I think you've got to get some guys that are big-body guys in there because, you know, Pittsburgh's going to try to try you. They're going to you know how that is, Randy, when you're going to get tried. They're going to try you in the run game. And if you can hold up, they're going to get away with it. Ben Roethlisberger is averaging 47 throws a game. So they're lining up in empty sets and throwing the ball. They would love to be able to run it, but they just haven't done it to the tune they would like to run it. They're only averaging 70 yards a game on the ground. So it's been more of a changeup than anything else, and you're going to have to defend their screen game, their quick game out of the shotgun, and then you're going to have to get Ben Roethlisberger on the ground. He's a big-body quarterback that extends plays, and if you allow him to extend plays, he's got guys that can go make plays for him.
Yeah, as Randy said, Tack is excited to play him, but he's never played a guy the size of Roethlisberger. And by the way, Antonio Brown, the quote today, we're like Wi-Fi, him and Roethlisberger. Sometimes the connection is great, sometimes it's poor, but they're always connected. But they haven't really put together, other than three touchdowns, the yardage. It's been Juju Smith-Schuster that seems to be the dude with the wide receivers right now.
Well, I think that you're seeing a little bit about what's happened with Julio, what's happening with Antonio Brown. There's so much anticipation of him seeing the football that I think that people are making a point of paying a lot of attention, getting resources to that side of the field. So Juju Smith-Schuster has stepped up. I think James Washington's a big-time player, too, the kid they drafted at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
This is not a one-trick pony when you start talking about Antonio Brown. They've got guys all over the field that can make plays, and a lot of them are run-after-the-catch guys. Theirs is built a little bit. Ours are kind of big receivers. Now, our guys can run after catch as well, but you kind of look at them as big receivers. These are a little bit smaller receivers that are really good, get the ball in their hands, run after catch. They'll throw a lot of quick screens. They'll do a lot of quick game out of the shotgun to try to get these guys the ball to move.
Okay. Hey, Dave, your Cyclones going to cover this weekend?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, you always see the Cyclones are the only team in the Big 12 right now to play a little bit of defense.
Okay.
I think they're ranked in the top 30 in the nation in defense, maybe top 35 in defense. So they'll play a little D.
Nice. Right. And then finally, just to cover my gambling question, Syracuse going to cover against Pittsburgh? Three.
Syracuse going to cover against? I don't even know what the number is.
It's three, Arch. I know this number. It's three. I got a six teamer.
Three,
yeah.
I like them covering three. This is a good Syracuse team, Mike. They've got a good quarterback, and they're really balanced running and throwing the ball. And Pitt's reeling a little bit on defense. They're having a tough time stopping it.
Oh.
So I like Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. That validation that degenerate gamblers love to hear from an expert, Dave Archer. All right, guys. Have fun in Pittsburgh, man. By the way, meat and potatoes around the corner from the Renaissance. Unbelievable brunch. And I know you love brunch.
No, I'm going for the meatballs Saturday night. Bo will tell you about it.
Oh, I know.
Okay. Billy will break it down for you.
All right, Big Daddy. That's Arch and Scoot. Billy will be up there too, his little buddy, hanging around.
Okay, I took the Cyclones with plus 9.5. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll see.
Isn't this fun? Gambling just makes football more fun. Hey, guys, Moneyline would be favoring Kershaw and the Dodgers. And for the kids out there, please bet responsibly. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Bravos. Also, rumors about United. That'll be part of the big three stories. A lot of people freaking out over Miggy. We'll explain.
Sportsradio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Most of the time, I don't think too much about the pitcher that I'm going to face. I just try to keep my mind and the old hitter that I'm going to face with the Dodgers. I think they got like pretty good lineup. It's no doubt how good his Kershaw is and what he's been doing for all his career.
The key to throw the ball, to not land over the fence, and to beat the Dodgers. You always, when I used to do the bit, because again,
you always thought
I was being silly. Now you understand folks say Dodgers.
Because you always do, we would always do the Raiders.
Go Raiders! Go Dodgers!
How about the Juarez? Coming up from Juarez!
Come up from Juarez! Go Manny! Go Dodgers!
Yeah, but let's hopefully, because, you know, he has been, can you say he's been the most consistent pitcher this year for the Braves?
I think he's been very consistent.
Yeah, so I mean, let's just hope
Dodgers.
No, I love it because you got his style. Then you combine that when you got Julio Teheran. And Julio's thing is, because he's kind of like just sort of sing-songy and nothing really gets him down. Really like, you know, sometimes you hit the ball, it goes over the fence. Sometimes they catch you. Either way, you know, you come back to work in 5 days, you try again.
And so that seems to be the mentality he has, right?
Let's hope that everybody's loosey-goosey because this is a must-win. I know everyone's freaking out about what happened last night. The one thing I will say is because Randy Mack is filling in for Carl today on Dukes and Bell, it's because every conversation, I'll put it this way, every model we talked about, how this series was going to play out.
It's playing out.
No, but it was dependent, on Fulte winning the game last night and giving you six or seven strong innings and not happening is what happened.
Question. Go back to just what you just said. Mm-hmm. So you were confident that Fulte was going to be able to get it done?
No. The only way I thought we were going to beat the Dodgers in a five-game series is Fulte was going to have to win.
Fulte was going to have to win game one.
I thought that would be the table setter because everything else is kind of a variable. See, Fulte was a guy I thought I was more confident in, but he revolted.
Yeah, and see, I've always said this about
all of a sudden, I'm Norm Crosby. Real quick, there was a comedian when I was a kid. I used to butcher the English language like that. He revolted back to his old self last night, Randy.
And I think Fulte is a very talented pitcher, but he's a guy that I said all year, you sure you trust him? And everybody got on me. Squid Billionaire, I told Randy Mack that Fulte was going to be good. So I never said he couldn't be good. I just said I didn't trust him at that time because of what happened, what I saw yesterday.
Right.
That's the only thing.
No, it was funny because we were talking about, well, maybe you'd roll Newcomb because Newcomb had a no-hitter against the Dodgers, although Turner wasn't in the game. Wasn't in playing. He was injured. And then the Dodgers went on a tear against left-handed pitching after that. I just thought it was Newcomb was the guy we're a little nervous about. Fulte would be fine. But because Fulte did, unfortunately, get a little amped up, he started relying, and Brian Jordan will tell you about it at 6:20 on the fastball. It's 0-2. And also, shame on Tyler Flowers because he's got to know. I got a Jock Peterson's a dead fastball hitter. He's got eight home run start games. How about a slider? How about something off speed? Why are you grooving a fastball 0-2 to a fastball pitcher? Well, I mean, you don't do that. 0-2 is the galactic waste pitch.
Yeah. And like I said, me and Squid were talking off air, and we would come to a conclusion. Did he trust his stuff? And that was my thing. But it's early in the game for you not to be trusting your stuff. So I don't think that's what it was. I just think he just hung it over the plate.
And you could tell he didn't trust his stuff. You know, I haven't seen a lot of it, and I know that it's part of it's due with the mound visits, but he had the little card in his back pocket.
I've never seen that report.
And he kept going to it. And that kind of
but that's nervousness. That's playoff jitters.
Yeah.
That's just the point. He didn't trust his stuff. He had a little bit, and he was trying to really paint the corner, and this umpire was all over the place. And all of that combined just really got to him. And it was tough to watch because, yeah, he is my guy, Randy.
Yeah,
well, we like Big Red. But I
think he can ball. I really do. I think Fulte can ball. His thing is right, just like we talked about, when you hear Brian Jordan at 6:20, he reverts back to who he was when he was being inconsistent. When your stuff isn't working, when you've been so comfortable, all of a sudden you hit adversity, you always revert back to it.
All right, how nervous, how confident are you guys? It's a later start, 6:30 for Dodger fans, 9:30 exactly for Braves fans. Where is it, by the way? Because if you don't have MLB Network, now it's FS1. What drives you crazy is, and we talked to Steve Coonan earlier, who used to be a television executive for the Hawks. You know, you got to bounce around. It's like every night it bounces from network to network, which is aggravating. But it's on FS1, I believe, tonight. Is that correct?
9:37 first pitch on FS1.
Yeah,
all right. Okay. So there you go. And so you don't have FS1, you go to a sports bar.
Channel 875.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, that's on your cable.
Yeah, I should say
that. It's all about you. That is on my cable. All about you. Hey, real quick, unscientific poll, 404-741-0929. Talk to Squid and hit us up. You want to talk about the game? How nervous are you? How confident are you? Anibal Sanchez, he's got a lot of experience. He's 3 games under 500 for his career. But
does he have a lot of experience in this moment, though? It's one thing to be a veteran of the game, but, I mean, to be in the position that you're in right now, because this is a must-win for the Braves. If the Braves want to continue on to you know, stretch the series to go back to L.A., they gotta win this game, Mike. They got to win this game. Or if you don't win, like I said, put up an effort where you see that your guys are back in the groove. Because I have no doubt that Sunday, when they're back here up there in SunTrust, they're going to play well. All your young players are going to play well.
Yeah, because he would have been on – wouldn't he have been on one of the Detroit teams that went somewhere? Wouldn't he have been on one of those?
He was on the 13 and 14 Detroit teams. Let's see. I've got his stats.
So, I mean,
right
so that's what I'm saying. He's been in this moment. So, I mean, but my thing with him is you know, once they catch up to his the speeds of his pitch, are we going to see a lot of the back of Acuna's number running to the fence like,
I'm looking at the advanced stats, and you know me with advanced stats. Let's see here. 2-4 in his postseason career.
Okay.
And you want to know what his whip is?
Not really, but you're going to tell me.
No, no. It's, for those that know what a whip is, it's a 1.16. But he gave up 12 earned runs in a 6-game start. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
So, I mean, the guy, but to Randy's point, he's one of the guys in that clubhouse who's got experience. Freddie was on the team in 13 when, unfortunately, Freddie Gonzalez didn't want to roll the dice with Craig Kimbrell.
Let him go back out there, damn it.
Save. Anyway, guys, it is the Dodgers against the Bravos tonight. I know that a lot of people do feel that it's Atlanta-itis, and here we go again. One thing has nothing to do with the other. But, Randy, you don't want to hear about that, well, it's house money thing. You think, look,
I don't like
we've
it.
Got this opportunity.
Like
let's
it.
Go grab the brass
exactly.
ring.
I don't like we're playing with house money. I don't like we're a year ahead. You're right where you're supposed to be because you're winning right now. The young guys are playing well, and I just don't get it. I hate the house money stuff.
Hey, guys, we got some goodies for you, by the way.
What you got?
We got a package. This is where you go to hang out at the College Football Hall of Fame, and they do, like, their own viewing parties right now. It's a pretty cool deal set up downtown on Marietta Street. Is it for a pack of four, Squid, for you and your friends? Because I lost my script. I got to get my sheets together.
You got it?
It is a family four-pack to the College Football Hall of Fame. Enjoy a fun family-friendly atmosphere at the College Football Hall of Fame Saturday tailgates, including up to four matchups live on a 36-foot video board, trivia prizes, and more.
Nice. There you go.
Cool.
It's an amazing vibe. You guys haven't been to the College Football Hall of Fame. We want to give you what Squidbilly just said in his Kennesaw State speak.
Family four-pack.
Be the first caller at 404-741-0929. It's the Red River Rivalry this weekend, Randall.
Is it?
Oklahoma taking on
Texas. Well, they fry everything.
That's right. At the Texas State Fair. Baker Mayfield wins the Heisman last year. Who's the last Texas Longhorn to win a Heisman? First guy can tell Squid that, you got the goodies.
Doyers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.